This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, May 10th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Precision ag standards get push. Canada backs U.S. on GMO ban, and lawmakers call for WTO case. Now here's a programming note. AgriPulse is hosting a webinar next Monday, May 15th, on the status of the new Farm Bill. Guests include John Newton, Chief Economist for the Senate Ag Committee's Minority Staff, and Jacqueline Snyder, a former top Democratic staffer, on the panel. The discussion will cover a wide variety of issues, including the latest farm program cost projections from the Congressional Budget Office. AgriPulse Executive Editor Philip Brasher will moderate the discussion. House Ag Moving Precision Ag Bill. The House Ag Committee is set to advance a bill that would require USDA to set voluntary interconnectivity standards and guidelines for precision agriculture technology. The standards would, quote, promote economies of scale and ease the burden of the adoption of precision agriculture. That according to the bill sponsored by Representative Donald Davis, the North Carolina Democrat. USDA would have 2 years to develop the standards in consultation with the Federal Communications Commission, the Commerce Department, and industry stakeholders. Take note, the second bill the committee is moving, the Beagle Brigade Act, would establish a National Detector Dog Training Center for training the dogs that are deployed to catch products at ports and airports that may harbor plant and animal pest and disease. The bill is sponsored by Representative Sanford Bishop, the Georgia Democrat. A companion bill is pending in the Senate Ag Committee. No movement on debt ceiling, McCarthy says. There was no sign of progress on debt ceiling negotiations after yesterday's White House meeting. I didn't see any new movement, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy of California told reporters after the meeting. McCarthy continued to emphasize the need for expanded work requirements for SNAP and other programs, quote, to help our supply chains get stronger. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, the Kentucky Republican, stressed that the clean debt ceiling increase Biden wants cannot pass the Senate. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Dairy Management Incorporated serves America's 34,000-plus dairy farmers and dairy importers by managing research and marketing programs aimed at promoting dairy consumption and protecting the good image of dairy farmers, dairy products, and the dairy industry. Funded entirely by dairy farmers, DMI has distinguished itself as a strategic consultant and valuable resource to businesses and organizations in the food and beverage sector that seek to increase sales and raise their image through the innovative use of dairy and dairy ingredients. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Canada Ag Minister backs U.S. on GM spat with Mexico. Canada is so far taking an observer role as the U.S. confronts Mexico over its ban on genetically modified white corn. But Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau tells AgriPulse she's backing the U.S. argument that Mexico doesn't have science on its side. It's not a matter of how food has been produced, she said in an interview. It's a matter of what the result is. And when our scientists agree that it is safe, then there should not be trade barriers. There is also the issue of potential domino effect with other countries attempting to copy Mexico's unscientific trade barrier, said Bibeau, who added, where will it end? You can check out the weekly AgriPulse newsletter for more on how the U.S. is preparing for a formal challenge to the Mexican ban. We also have a report on the Aim for Climate Summit and stories on issues facing Farm Bill riders. Lawmakers press for WTO dispute on India's ag subsidies. The U.S. has twice filed counter-notifications with the World Trade Organization to demonstrate that India is vastly underreporting its subsidies for wheat and rice production, and how House members are urging U.S. Trade Representative to officially challenge the Indian policy. India has disregarded WTO commitments for at least a decade, leading to entrenched policies and an increasingly justified perception that the rules will not be enforced. Representatives Rick Crawford, the Arkansas Republican, Tracy Mann, the Kansas Republican, and 16 other members wrote in a letter to USTR Catherine Tai and USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. Meanwhile, these policies have global spillover that degrade market opportunities for farmers in the United States and other countries that comply with the WTO agricultural rules. Australia, Canada, Paraguay, Thailand, and Ukraine backed the second U.S. counter-notification on India. Elanco eyes 2024 launch for methane reducer. Elanco CEO Jeff Simmons says the company remains confident that it will get FDA approval in the first half of next year for its methane-reducing feed supplement for cattle known as Bovaer. During the company's quarterly earnings call, Simmons said the company intends to launch that and some other products within 2 to 4 months of getting government approval. Elanco says the product, developed by the Dutch company Royal DSM, can reduce methane emissions by 30% in dairy cows and even more in beef cattle. Consumer Group, too little info on dietary advisors. The Center for Science and the Public Interest says the government is providing too little information about potential conflicts of interest among members of the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. The Departments of Agriculture and Health and Human Services released a list of potential conflicts late last month, but since the list covers the entire committee and not individual members, quote, that effectively obscures which members have which ties and does not provide the public with the information it deserves, CSPI said. No dollar figures are included for grants, contracts, or other forms of compensation. Take note, the committee meets today to discuss how to tackle the scientific questions the departments have presented to it. Frozen food sector looks to qualify for nutritional funds. A bipartisan bill introduced to the House would make frozen fruits and vegetables eligible for the Gus Schumacher Nutrition Incentive Program, known as GusNIP. The program is currently limited to fresh produce. We've seen great success from GusNIP, but more needs to be done to ensure this program is accessible in areas with less access to fresh food, said Jasmine Crockett, a Texas Democrat who is co-sponsoring the Supporting All Healthy Options When Purchasing Products, or the SHOP Act, with Mark Alford, the Missouri Republican. GusNIP participants who spend a dollar on fresh fruits and veggies get an additional dollar to spend on those products. The American Frozen Food Institute says 8 out of 10 SNAP-eligible households surveyed in 2022 agreed that frozen fruits and vegetables make it easier to eat more produce and prevent food waste. Tariffs could bring higher costs for canned foods. Proposed tariffs of up to 300% on tinplate steel imports will increase the cost of canned foods and products by up to 58 cents per product. That according to research conducted by the Judae Group and released by the Consumer Brands Association. Consumer Brands is urging the Department of Commerce and International Trade Commission to deny a petition submitted by steel conglomerate Cleveland-Cliffs to impose tariffs of up to 300% on imported tinplate steel from 8 countries, including Canada, China, Germany, the Netherlands, South Korea, Taiwan, Turkey, and the UK. because tinplate is used in hundreds of canned goods, everything from soup to shaving cream. Consumer Brands says in a release, imposing the requested tariffs would raise production costs for U.S. can manufacturers and trigger price hikes for every consumer, as supported by the research. Well, here's today's She Said It. Meeting the commitments of the Paris Accord requires prioritizing the food and agriculture system transformation at the same level as the energy transition. We've got to stop saying that it's the energy transition first. They need to be on an equal footing. That's Bovair Erthurin, founder and CEO of Food Systems for the Future and a former executive director of the UN World Food Program. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, May 10th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.